and welcome to the MJA podcast. My name is Kate Swanell and I am your host. Today I'm chatting with Dr. Anne Duggan, who is the Clinical Director of the Australian Commission on Safety and Quality in Healthcare. Colonoscopies are a vital part of the National Bowel Cancer Screening Program. Making sure that colonoscopies are of consistently high quality across the country has been a concern since 2015, when the first Australian Atlas of Healthcare Variation found a 30-fold variation in MBS-funded colonoscopies. Anne and her colleagues at the Commission have developed a new colonoscopy clinical care standard, which she hopes will improve quality and patient outcomes. Anne is my special guest today. So we're talking about the new clinical care standard for colonoscopies. Why do we need one?
There's a lot of evidence that, as the title says, not all colonoscopies are equal. When we do colonoscopy, we do it for a number of reasons, but one of the key reasons we do colonoscopy in Australia is part of our screening or surveillance for bowel cancer. And as you know, we've got a national bowel cancer screening program where if you've got a positive WHO test, you go on and have a colonoscopy. And what we know about bowel cancer is it starts off with a little polyp that over many years gets into be a cancer. So it's one thing to do a colonoscopy and find a cancer, but really what you want to do is find a polyp and remove the polyp so it can't become a cancer. And we know that there are a number of factors that determine how well that's done. And the key factors are good quality bowel prep. So there's a need to inform patients and make sure patients are having the best prep suited to their comorbidities.
Right.
And they understand what they need to do. So therefore, you end up with a nice clean colon, or what people might not like to call the word clean, but fairly empty colon. So and the large bowel, you know, has got folds. So the colonoscopist needs also to be very skilled at actually looking everywhere and looking for polyps that are hiding behind folds, etc., and doing a very careful examination. There's international data that shows that if colonoscopies aren't well done, the polyp detection rate is lower. So if you spend a good amount of time and look carefully, you can increase, and the polyps we care about are the adenomas, so you can increase your adenoma detection rate. That's one of the things, is we want to have, every time somebody has a colonoscopy, they're having a high-quality procedure. The other thing is, if we have great guidelines that tell us when we should be doing it, and if we need a repeat, what's the evidence about when we should have a future one? Because nobody wants to go and have PrEP. It's most one of the most unpleasant things you have.
It is.
And so what we want to do with the standard also is ensure that the patient is a partner in this whole experience. They understand the discussion about should I or shouldn't I have a colonoscopy? Why would I be having it? What are the risks? Because it's not without risk. You know, perforation we know about, bleeding we know about, anaesthetic. And if you've got comorbidities as you get older, there's a risk there of the anaesthetic. So we want people to be a partner in that. We want them to know what they need to do for the colonoscopy, but also afterwards. We want patients to be given the information. Yeah. What did you find? What does this mean? What should I do next? And for people to have the information to be able to know and basically relax that the advice they'd been given is consistent with the guidelines and their special needs, you know, whatever their comorbidities are. So it's 9 statements which we really think are really pivotal to a high-quality colonoscopy. We do the clinical care standards in a way that we actually also give, for each statement, what that means for a patient, so they're informed, what that means for a healthcare professional so they can deliver appropriate high-quality care, and what it means for the facility that is providing the service because they need to support it and they need to monitor the quality is occurring.
We know there's variation across the country about the way in which and the quality of colonoscopies. Do we know why there's that variation?
The society, sort of the Gastroenterology Society of Australia, the College of Physicians, the Royal Australian College of Surgeons have been working for a long time in terms of trying to ensure that colonoscopists are certified when they, you know, so that there is a bar. You can't practice until you've got that bar. And in recent times, there has been a development of recertification on a voluntary basis. And there's also been a lot of good work done to train people and offer courses so people can upskill. One of the things is that over time, the technology's changed. You can see much more detail than you used to be able to see in the early colonoscopes. And the techniques have changed. So there is a real need to make sure that people are up to speed. And many people are, but you want to know that everybody is. And so that's why the standard is saying certification, recertification is a requirement for, yep. for doing colonoscopy into the future. You've got to be knowing what the techniques are, what to look for, you know, what are the key features of good colonoscopy in 2018. And yep. there's lots of literature out there, and there's lots of good guidelines. And there are increasingly a number of courses that actually allow you to freshen up and check your skills.
What about our demographics, our geography, our rather unique geography? What effect is that having on variation? I mean, how hard is it for Indigenous people out in the country, for example, to get a good quality colonoscopy?
I think this is a very important question. When we did the Atlas back in 2015, yeah. we looked at MBS colonoscopies and we found a 30-fold variation.
Wow.
And this was by where people lived. So it's age and sex standardized. So, you know, you're comparing like areas with, you know, like data with like data. So when you see a 30-fold variation, yeah, sure, demographics influence the need for colonoscopy, but it just doesn't sort of add up as that we're actually providing the level of services we need in the country. Now, yeah. that's not to say that if you can get a colonoscopy, it's not a high-quality one, but you do have to wonder, and if you look to the workforce, we know that we don't have the workforce in rural and remote Australia as much as we should. Now, the other thing, I suppose, to balance the argument as well is we just also need to think about that, you know, that there are lifestyle, about half of bowel cancer is related to lifestyle factors. So this is not going to solve the whole problem of bowel cancer. We do need to do much more about informing patients about how to prevent it. But if you do need a colonoscopy, I think it is incredibly hard, and people have to travel big distances currently in many places to get their colonoscopy. And you can imagine that probably there's a percentage of people who say, oh,
Can't be bothered.
Well, I can't leave the farm for that long.
Yeah, can't afford the petrol.
I can't afford the petrol, all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that subsequent to this standard, we do much more work. And actually, next week is the Australian Gastro Week, which is Gastroenterologist yes. Week. And we've got a session, an outreach session, where we're actually getting people to talk about what they're doing, both overseas and in Australia,
cool.
to try and address rural and remote needs. So we're starting to talk about it as a society. But yeah, lots to be done.
I'm chatting with Dr. Anne Duggan about the new colonoscopy clinical care standard produced by the Australian Commission on Safety and Quality in Healthcare. You can find Anne's co-authored summary of the standard at mja.com.au, and the standard itself can be found at www.safetyandquality.gov.au.
At the end of your perspective, you talk about two remaining issues. I'm not sure if you mean that aren't covered by the standard or that still need to be further worked on. Can you talk a little bit about those for me?
The standard was developed by a group of people who were representatives of the key colleges and expertise, plus with the consumer voice. So we had quite a range of people. And at the end of it, though, we agreed that the two things that also determine the quality of colonoscopy, one is related to human factors. So if you're doing, say, 20 colonoscopies in a list, are you as alert and as able as you were when you started on number one? So we thought that was a big issue. The other thing is, if you are doing a high-quality colonoscopy for screening or surveillance, you need time to be, as I said, looking around those folds. So
yes.
if the booking system is such that there isn't a great deal of time and you have to hurry things, then there's a risk of compromising the quality of the colonoscope. We thought there were two very important issues that, as a group, we decided we should write to the College of Surgeons and the G Society of Australia
yep.
and ask for them to put out to think about it and provide some advice and recommendations to practitioners as to what would be a reasonable number of people on a list and a reasonable way to pace your list so that you could provide consistent high-quality colonoscopy.
A lot of our listeners are GPs. Is yep. there a message for them in this standard, and what should they be doing in terms of their referrals, those kinds of things?
Oh, yeah, there's a huge message for GPs. There are good NH and MRC endorsed guidelines that the Cancer Council has put out about screening screening for bowel cancer, and there are good guidelines that are in the pipeline that will come out about surveillance. GPs need to be familiar with that. They also, I think, need to be thinking and asking patients, are you participating in the National Bowel Cancer Screening Program? Because that reduces bowel cancer by a third.
Yes.
I think the other thing is, don't leave your patients to end up with bowel cancer. tell them about the big risk factors: smoking, alcohol, obesity, sedentary lifestyle, and a poor diet with very few, little in the way of vegetables and fruit. Most patients may have a risk factor, and I think there's always opportunity to do it and to improve. There's good data that if you stop smoking compared to the person who continues, your polyp recurrence rate, if you have a polyp form, is less. It's like stopping smoking in terms of your risk of lung cancer. There is a benefit. So even if you're, you know, middle-aged and you're smoking, stopping has benefits. Middle-aged and you're overweight, losing weight. Obesity is related to 12 cancers, not only bowel cancer. So there's, for the GPs, there's a great opportunity to actually improve the health of their patient by talking about all those risk factors and then saying, look, the government's going to send you out the bowel cancer clinic screening kit every 2 years. I think you should do it. Yep. If it's positive, it doesn't mean it's necessary cancer, but it means you should have a colonoscopy. And I think they should be talking to patients about not doing it too often and also saying to patients, look, what you need to know is when you had it, was it high quality?
Yeah.
And if it was, then you can feel reassured. In countries where they use colonoscopy, like the US, if you have a colonoscopy and it's a good quality and it's normal, nothing found, not recommended to have another one for 10 years.
Yeah, and you can be confident in that.
Yes, yeah, we do see people having... There's a huge role for GPs as the gatekeepers in this. The other thing is, and this is what the standard's trying to do, is to ensure documentation. Let's keep track of what your last colonoscopy showed.
Yes.
And let's look what see what the guidelines say about when you should have your next one. That just makes life easier. And if the patient's got a copy, which is what we want to happen, then no matter where the patient moves to around Australia,
they
can use it. Yep. They can take it with them. Yeah.
Terrific.
Thanks very much, Kate.
Thank you, Anne. My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.